Generally, when one enters into the practice of Zen Buddhism, one begins with the breath, counting the breath, following the breath. This establishes a foundational habit of regular sitting practice and allows the mind to settle down and to develop a degree of concentration. It is also highly recommended that one take up every minute Zen mindfulness practice during this early stage. Every minute Zen is a series of efforts assigned by the teacher in Dzogchen and carried out week by week in one's daily life and helps extend practice beyond the Zendo. After all, if our Zen practice is limited to the mat and to special circumstances like Sesshin, what's the point? As Robert Aitken Roshi makes clear, that kind of practice becomes an esoteric hobby that helps no one. After some time, the mind becomes quiet and thoughts slow down, and it becomes almost inevitable that an aspiration arises. The desire to know what is really going on. What is the ultimate truth of things? It is often experienced as a vague dissatisfaction, a restlessness, a desire that one knows is not going to be fulfilled in any of the usual ways. This is bodhicitta, the mind that seeks the way. Bodhicitta is present in all of us, and at some point in some lifetime, it rises into consciousness. Who am I really? What am I? I hear it expressed as questions. What am I doing here? Why was I born? Why must I die? These are the eternal questions of the spiritual seeker, the great matter of birth and death. And some variation of that question is what brings us to practice. Certainly by the time one comes to a sesshin, that question has become conscious and is a driving force in one's life. When that question of questions becomes strong and the mind settled, that is when one considers taking up an enlightenment practice. This is a huge step. It marks the transition from the necessary practice of settling the mind and developing concentration to the long, difficult, even dangerous search for your own deepest self, your own nature. But nothing of value is ever gained or discovered without risk. Without genuine effort. It is not a decision to be made lightly. At the same time, there is no more important work that any human being can undertake than this. It is said that in order to seek enlightenment, three things are necessary: great faith, great doubt, and great effort. Great faith, the faith that when the Buddha said that all beings are whole and complete, lacking nothing, that he was not lying, and that he was not mistaken. Great doubt, not doubt in the sense of cynicism or a negative attitude, but a perplexity, a mindset that insists on finding out for oneself. Through direct experience. Great effort, the willingness and determination to do whatever is necessary to resolve the question. Today, as is customary on the first day of Sesshin, we will take up case number one and the Wu Men Guan, Zhao Zhou's dog. This koan mu is used more than any other as the initial koan, sometimes called the breakthrough koan. It is the investigation of this koan more than any other practice through which the Zen student comes to open his or her eye in the experience we call Kensho. We will take up this koan as a gateway to enlightenment. Tomorrow we will take a look at another gateway, Shikantaza. Case number one in the Wu Men Guan. The case reads, a monk asked Zhao Zhou, has a dog Buddha nature or not? Zhao Zhou said, mu. Wu Men's commentary. For the practice of Zen, you must pass through the barrier set up by the ancestral teachers. To realize this wondrous thing called enlightenment, you must cut off the mind road. If you do not pass through the barrier, if you do not cut off the mind road, then you are a ghost clinging to bushes and grasses. What is the barrier of the ancestral teachers? It is just this one word, mu, the one barrier of our faith. We call it the gateless barrier of the Zen tradition. When you pass through this barrier, not only will you see Zhao Zhou face to face, but you will walk hand in hand with all the ancestral teachers in the successive generations of our lineage. You will be eyebrow to eyebrow with them, seeing with the same eye, hearing with the same ears. How wonderful! Who would not want to pass through this barrier? For this, you must make your body one great inquiry. With your 360 bones and joints and your 84,000 pores, concentrate on this one word, mu. Day and night, keep digging into it. Don't consider it to be nothingness, or as being, or non-being. And don't think in terms of has and has not. It is like swallowing a red-hot iron ball. You try to vomit it out, but you can't. Gradually you purify yourself, eliminating mistaken knowledge and attitudes you have held from the past, casting away all illusory thoughts and discriminations. Inside and outside become one. You're like a mute person who has had a dream. You know it for yourself alone. Suddenly, mu breaks open. The heavens are astonished. The earth is shaken. It is as though you have snatched the great sword of General Guan. When you meet the Buddha, you kill the Buddha. When you meet Bodhidharma, you kill Bodhidharma. Facing life and death, you are utterly free. And in the six realms of existence and the four modes of birth, you move about in a samadhi of innocent delight. How then should one work with it? With might and main, devote yourself to mu and exhaust all your life energy on this one word, mu. If you do not falter, your mind will, like a light flashed on in the dark, suddenly become bright. Wonderful indeed. Wu Men's verse. Dog, Buddha nature. The full presentation of the whole. With a bit of has or has not, body is lost, life is lost. Most of the koans that we work with here are the records of the sayings and doings of the great Chan masters of the Tang Dynasty of ancient China. Robert Aitken Roshi calls them the folk literature of our tradition. Every koan presents the student with a paradox, a conundrum that completely defies any effort by the discursive intellectual mind to resolve it. A monk asked Zhao Zhou, "Has a dog Buddha nature or not?" Zhao Zhou said, "Mu." Now the word mu in Japanese, or wu in Chinese, means no or has not. But this is contrary to all the teachings of the Buddha. From the very beginning, all beings are by nature Buddha. We chant every morning in and out of Sesshin. So we are immediately faced with the paradox. What is mu? Master Wu Min in his commentary tells us how to deal with it. You must make your whole body one great inquiry. With your 360 bones and joints and your 84,000 pores, concentrate on this one word, mu. Day and night, keep digging into it. Don't consider it to be nothingness or as being or non-being. And don't think in terms of has and has not. It is like swallowing a red-hot iron ball. You try to vomit it out, but you can't. Don't consider it to be nothingness, or as being, or non-being. And don't think in terms of has and has not. No. Don't consider mu at all. Don't think about or cogitate over mu. Don't speculate. Mu is beyond any possible speech, description, thought, or concept. Wu Min's imagery about red-hot iron balls and so forth may be a bit off-putting. In working on mu, or any koan, or any practice for that matter, the good word to use is focus. Focus clearly and accurately on mu. Even as you focus clearly and accurately on each breath, each number, each moment of sitting. In the early stages of practice, it is natural to look for something, to seek something that can be described, encompassed, imagined by thoughts and thought processes. It is natural to expect to gain something, to gain enlightenment, to gain peace, to gain tranquility. After all, that's what our lives are normally about. Gaining stuff, money, fame, love, family, and all the rest of it. But is there anything to gain from practice, from mu? Mu stands like a tower of adamant, an unscalable mountain with nothing to take hold of. Our thoughts and imaginings whirl about it like starving buzzards seeking carrion, to use Thomas Merton's analogy. But Merton writes, "Zen enriches no one. There is no body to be found. The birds may come and circle for a while in the place where it is thought to be, but they soon go elsewhere. When they are gone, the nothing, the nobody that was there suddenly appears. It was there all the time, but the scavengers missed it because it was not their kind of prey." Not their kind of prey. Mu is right here. in your sitting, in your walking, in your resting. But it is not an object of thought. As long as the buzzards are circling, as long as the thoughts are chasing something hither, thither, and yon, you will miss it by 1,000 miles. It is not anything that thoughts can reach. There is no sustenance for them. It has been taken away, and for that you must cut off the mind road. You must end the cycle of thinking and reacting. We sometimes speak of things like the ground of being, or our true nature, or Buddha nature. Every time I say things like that, I lose some more of my eyebrows because I'm speaking falsely. There is no ground of being. There is no Buddha nature. Don't go looking for symbols or labels or synonyms for mu. They are just more fetters. Mu, in and of itself, is liberation. Gradually you purify yourself, eliminating mistaken knowledge and attitudes you have held from the past, casting away all illusory thoughts and discriminations inside and outside, become one. You are like a mute person who has had a dream. You know it for yourself alone. This is our work here in Sesshin, to let the separate ego self disappear in the act of uniting with the practice, in uniting with mu, the breath, or just sitting. This is the power of Sesshin. For this week, we have the opportunity to completely lose ourselves in the practice, to enter the great silence, where there is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, no color, sound, smell, taste, touch, or anything the mind can take hold of. And how do we reach this state? Wu Men says, exhaust your life energy on this one word, mu. Exhaust all your life energy on the practice, whether it be mu, the breath, just sitting. And how do you do that? What is it to exhaust all your life energy on anything? You do it with total involvement and total abandonment. Total involvement. Focus on mu, like a cat watching a mouse hole. Completely alert, completely focused. Do not try to know mu in the usual sense. Practice mu all unknowing. Practice mu with a questioning spirit, but not with a questing spirit that grabs at answers. This is the really tricky part. To question mu is cutting off the mind road. Noodling with answers is the mind road. So question mu without demanding an answer. Be content with the question. Be content with not knowing. Become fascinated with mu. It actually is fascinating. Practice mu with a sense of wonder, like a questioning child. Moment to moment, it is never the same. Each mu, each breath, each moment is unique, brand new, never seen before, never to be seen again. Seeing, hearing, eating, sleeping, walking, chanting, each moment, each breath, each move is the first and the last. This is total involvement. Total abandonment. Total involvement is not possible without total abandonment. You can't hold back. You can't hang on to any little corner for the separate self. You have to give it all up. It's a bit like those scenes in certain old movies where the hero sees someone drowning in a lake or a river. With no thought of consequences, he strips off his coat and shoes and dives into the water. The practice of Mu is like that. You strip off your outer shell of self. You dive in with no thought of how cold the water might be or if there is an undertow. You just do it. Abandon the I. If there is an I that practices, it's just reinforcement of the delusion of a self. Let Mu see. Let Mu hear. Let Mu eat. Let Mu sleep. Let Mu walk. Let Mu chant. Give it all over to Mu. Let Mu take you over. Let Mu take everything over. This is total abandonment. Exhaust your life energy in this way, and you will find that Mu is inexhaustible. Working on Mu takes steadfast courage in the face of all sorts of obstacles. Even as the Buddha had to deal with all the minions of Mara during his night under the Bodhi tree, we have to deal with our doubts, discouragements, pain, all the rest of it. How did the Buddha deal with it? He swallowed them up. He resisted not at all, but just went on with the practice, and therefore he was impermeable. Mu swallows up all notions of self, other, past, present, good, evil, male, female. Suddenly, Mu breaks open. The heavens are astonished. The earth is shaken. It is as though you have snatched the great sword of General Guan. When you meet the Buddha, you kill the Buddha. When you meet Bodhidharma, you kill Bodhidharma. Facing life and death, you are utterly free, and in the six realms of existence and the four modes of birth, you move about in a samadhi of innocent delight. The experience of Kensho is different for everyone. For some, it is the explosion that Wu Min describes. But for others, it is just a creeping realization that, oh, so that's what it's all about. And either way, it's fine. But please, Kensho is not our practice. Results are not our concern. Just do the practice, and whatever comes out of it is just fine. It is so simple. So very, very simple. Just to sit with Mu, with the breath, with the sitting, and make nothing. But our discursive mind is not used to that, and it doesn't like it. It wants to be busy, doing and making stuff, being in control, or at least creating the illusion of control. This is the most difficult aspect of practice, to simply trust it, to just do it, and nothing else. Trusting your practice is trusting your own nature. This is true whether you are counting or following the breath, working on Mu, Shikantaza, or subsequent koans. This practice is not about trying to get something or to get somewhere. But it's also not even trying to get rid of anything. It's about letting go, letting be. You cannot enter into Mu if you are carrying anything, not even a notion of nothing. Mu has no other reason beyond itself. It is because Mu has no reason, no meaning. It has no limit. To realize this Mu is to realize the true self that is without form or characteristics. Mu is complete liberation. And through it all, stay alert. Don't waste a moment. Together with all beings, we realize the way.